Two books, An Indigenous People's History of the United States and All the Real Indians Died Off. Call us 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Special thanks to Hep Ingham and Terry McRae. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Dark Circle, is showing Thursday, March 16th at 7 p.m. Dark Circle is a documentary film that focuses on the connections between the nuclear weapons and the nuclear power industries. Again, that's Dark Circle, Thursday, March 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And it's right at about almost 1 minute after 10 o'clock. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, Eastern Oregon author Bing Bingham talks about his book Shaped by the Land, Stories of the Rural American West. Then a preview of the new documentary Never Give Up about Oregon civil rights leader Minoru Yasui. At 11:30, Art Focus features the new Portland Art Museum show, Connecting Lines, which focuses on violence against Native women and rebirth of Cherokee culture. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. And now coming up is Chris Andre, hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, March 13th, 2017, and you're listening to Air Cascadia, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio at 90.7 FM, on the air, KBOO, everywhere. Air Cascadia, the only airline where we guarantee not to look at your baggage. Weather today, a bit of that going on. Anybody who has any sort of patch of land for which they have a certain degree of responsibility is, up the creek. A creek, in fact, is probably flowing through your place even as we speak. And even as we speak, rain coming down, highs near 60 today, winds 11 to 15, gusting up to 21, and it's an absolute guaranteed 100% chance of precipitation. Tonight, rain continuing and low around 49, wind dropping off a bit, and then for tomorrow, Wednesday, look for more rain and a high around 57, and a south wind 8 to 13 miles per hour. As we say in Cascadia, don't complain, because we will need it. It's not as though we are entirely immune from drought, and it's important to think about what this means. So for tomorrow night, again, showers likely early on, though, and tapering off later into the night, a low around 41 and light winds. That's it for weather today, and this is a great point at which to introduce our next guest, Nick Cady, with Cascade Wildlands. Joining us, we just got a press release this morning, actually, that alerting us to this, that the four conservation groups filed a motion to intervene in their lawsuit seeking to remove California Endangered Species Act protections from wolves. But this has gone back and forth. Wolves are indeed shot from time to time illegally. The lawsuit against the State Fish and Wildlife Commission was brought by the Pacific Legal Foundation and wrongly alleges that wolves are ineligible for state protection. What? The interveners, Cascadia Wildlands, the Center for Biological Diversity, Environmental Protection Information Center, and Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center are going to the mat over this. It is important. Apex predators are far more important and far less well understood than many other groups of creatures on the planet that we share. So good morning. Good morning, Nick. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit more about some of the arguments here that are being bandied about. Press release mentions that each of the arguments has major flaws. At UCLA, biologists have gone over those in detail so far to little avail, but we'll see what happens. Can you talk about this lawsuit a little bit? Let people know what's going on.
Yeah, this lawsuit was brought by the Pacific Legal Foundation, which is a pretty national, widespread, and well-funded conservative law firm that kind of pursues different conservative agendas, and they've intervened in our delisting lawsuit in Oregon, and now they've brought this case in California. And the arguments they're pushing, which is completely frivolous, I would argue, is that wolves are a non-native species to
yeah.
California and Oregon, which is a ridiculous proposition.
Where are they from? Hawaii. Aloha. Once again, this is obviously designed to tie up in courts and waste your money. They've got. Do you have any idea of who the funders are behind this? Behind the Pacific thing? What you said.
It's kind of unclear who the Pacific Legal Foundation gets their money from. They are a nonprofit, though, so that can be researched and dug into, I believe. Regardless of who is giving their money, the talking point that they're pushing is the same point we've heard throughout the West when we've dealt with wolf recovery, and that is the wolves that are now present in the United States are some killer breed of Alaskan or Canadian timber wolf that is just wolf that's out to take your children away. And it's really a ridiculous argument. It's based solely upon one study that was produced and kind of heralded by the Fish and Wildlife Service in the now illegal attempt. It was ruled to be scientifically unfounded to remove protections for wolves across the entire country. So we've seen this argument before. We've beaten this argument before. It's kind of unclear why the Pacific Legal Foundation is now getting involved in all these state listing cases that are kind of a day late and a dollar short.
Well, it would appear on the surface to be a way of tying things up, and also fire an opening volley over the bow of environmental organizations that are already in place, already fighting to protect our habitat, and simply to start things off and let us all know what we're in for over the course of the next 4 years. So it's something, again, this is one of the many reasons why we do, why our listeners do support efforts like Cascadia Wildlands and the other organizations that are having to once again go to court and fight this thing despite the findings from biologists at UCLA. So and what would you suggest that listeners do when they hear of this kind of, again, frivolous lawsuit?
Right. Well, even though it's a frivolous lawsuit, it is critically important, because the listing status in California, you know, this prevents wolves from being killed, either poached by people or by the state. And the one breeding pair, the one pack we have in California at this point, is currently missing and can't be found. And a lot of people believe that it's been poached. And so it's critical that these protections are maintained. If folks want to get involved,
maybe they can, it went back to Hawaii. Maybe it went back to Hawaii to establish its nationality. They may be wondering about where it was born, see if it's legitimately, an American citizen. Perhaps it came from Kenya. You know. Thank you so much for that, Nick. We're going to put all the information, Cascadia Wildlands, on the website, and you can always call KBOO listeners to get more on this same issue. Thanks again for that, Nick. We so appreciate having you join us today. Nick Cady, Cascadia Wildlands, always a wonderful guest. Welcome on KBOO. And we're going to turn to Ed Fallon now. The Fallon Forum, Bold Iowa, and the front lines of struggle going on. And in what many people regard as like you sort of flyover states, voices are raised and people are very much involved there. Good morning, Ed. Thanks for being with us again.
Hi. Yeah, how are you?
Well, we're in a state of permanent astonishment at everything so far emanating from the White House or whichever Trump edifice the noises are coming from, the tweets are emanating from. So there was a lot going on. You've got, of course, Steve King to handle.
Yeah, I know. And I just have about 5 minutes to talk about
it. Go ahead. Yes, do, please.
I've got to get on. But this King is just constantly embarrassing us. But here's how bad he is. The only person agreeing with Steve King's comment about it's basically a white supremacist comment. He was defending Geert Wilders, the far-right candidate for prime minister in the Netherlands.
And that election's coming up tomorrow, too, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And he was defending him, everybody's criticizing him. Our Republican governor's criticizing him, our Republican lieutenant governor. Even the head of the Republican Party, Jeff Kaufman, says, quote, "I do not agree with Congressman King's statement. We are a nation of immigrants, and diversity is the strength of any nation and any community." You know, that's coming from the head of the Republican Party in Iowa. Now, I would argue that a lot of the Republican policies being put forth aren't consistent with that rather magnanimous statement, but the fact that Kaufman is willing to criticize King is encouraging.
Yeah.
What really needs to happen, though, is all these Republican, leaders in Iowa need to stop endorsing him when it comes time for re-election. He's an embarrassment to our state. He does not reflect how Iowans feel, even in his district. You know, most people disagree with those kind of statements. They support him for other reasons. You know, he's very personable. He probably helped them with some local problem they had. But You know, and they look the other way on this stuff, or they don't even know about it. But, you know, it's time for the Republican Party leadership to say, look, we're going to run a candidate against you, and we're going to beat you and send you, you know, back to your little hometown where you can be as racist as you want.
Yeah, right, standing on the back of a pickup truck with a megaphone every Saturday morning. So talking about that, I want to ask you about how the Trump administration and mindset has perhaps made corn balls like Steve King possible, because his voice was really not of much significance outside of his own constituency. And now, of course, he has a national platform thanks to Trump.
Well, I would say that Steve King was problematic before Trump came on, but you know, Trump is certainly echoing the same kinds of sentiments that King has been advocating. I think he has a greater platform now, but I would say that he's had this platform for a long time.
We've run out of time here. We've got a lot more time. I have notes going all the way, pages notes. I would love to have you back on the show later this week if you do have time. We've been speaking, of course, with Ed Fallon, Fallon's Forum, Bold Iowa, and Real Voice, a progressive voice coming from the agricultural heart of America. This has been a Cascadia, of course, for Monday, Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. Engineering for us today is Judy Feistel. Derek Crooks is the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre, telling you that citizens are being forced to provide their social media passwords upon returning to the U.S. now. And it gets much worse. Documents that the FBI creates for it processes FOIA requests can be withheld from future FOIA requests in certain sensitive cases. We're going to find out a lot more about that. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation has some notes for you if you plan to be anywhere near a phone or any sort of